The message today is the special love of Jesus for John, the son of Zebedee. I want to read you three passages and then bring others to mind. So first, in John chapter 14, verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Now, chapter 12. Verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor." And now chapter 13. Verse 21. "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. There was at the table, reclining in Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoneth to him, and saith unto him, Tell us, who it is of whom he speaketh. He, leaning back as he was on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus therefore answereth, He it is for whom I shall dip the sop, and give it him." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that, as your Son said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We have light and literature that the world knows nothing about. They could, but our Father, we have it in a special way. We thank you for that. We've read some passages today telling us things that the world could never know. But we who are your children know them, and we desire to know more, our God. And so concerning this special love of which we've read, we pray that by thy Spirit we shall understand it and be challenged, and our hearts be blessed. We thank you, our God, for your faithfulness to us, and we confess our sins to you, our unfaithfulness to you. So be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are various kinds of love recorded in the Bible, from the most general to the most specific. And for that reason, any sinner, if he ever read the Bible, could say this: Jesus loves me, and I would not be able to dispute that Jesus loved him, because Jesus did love him. Jesus loves everyone. But then, there is a love that is beyond that, and it's spoken of in John 13 when it says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You see, out of the world, there are those that are Jesus' own. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And that is a love that is distinct from the general love of Jesus for sinners. There is the love of Jesus for his own. But in addition to that, there is a special love of Jesus that is not the possession of all of those that can claim, I am a child of God. You say, how could that be? That is why I read first to you from John 14:21. Having already told you that Jesus loved his own and that the Father loves the followers of Jesus, listen to this verse again carefully and you'll be able to understand. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. But we read in chapter 13 that he already loved us. But he says, now that I have loved you, there is a special kind of love, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and if he loves me, I will love him, and my Father will love him, and manifest myself to him. And in addition to that, to make it more specific, I read to you in John chapter 13, an individual whom Jesus loved. It says, now there was leaning or reclining on Jesus' breast, his bosom, a disciple whom Jesus loved. And there's only one disciple in all the gospel records that has it stated of them that Jesus loved him. And that is John, the son of Zebedee. Now, anybody can say, God loves me. A few of us can say, Jesus loves me. I belong to him. But fewer still can say, Jesus loves me the way he loved John, the son of Zebedee. Now, can you say that? I'm not able to say it. In fact, to even think of it is a humbling thing. I can boast about this. I can boast about that love on the grounds of grace, that by the grace of God, I'm loved. All Christians can say that. But there is another love, and so very few can say it, and it's this. Jesus loves me in a special way, and there are very few Christians who are able to say that. But that's something to aspire for, to have Jesus to say, I love you in a special way. I'm liable to think, to put out of my mind immediately the possibility of ever being loved that special way by Jesus, because I'm aware of my imperfections, and I'm aware of some of your imperfections, but that does not disqualify you. If you have imperfections, how do I know that? Because John is not only spoken of as the disciple whom Jesus loved, but Mark tells us that he, with his brother James, is called Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Do you remember the time? Because we can pinpoint it when he received that name. When the Savior was going through the village of the Samaritans, and he wanted to go that route, but the Samaritans saw that he was going toward Jerusalem, and they did not want him to come that way, and they refused passage. And so James and John said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them as Elijah did? And the Lord said, you do not know what spirit you are of. And so a son of thunder, he had violent anger, and he was ready to call down fire from heaven and consume those that were enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if there has been anger in my heart, well, that does not disqualify me. But let me tell you something else that's even more humorous. It's this, that John had secret ambition, and he was quite willing by stealth to arrive at that position he wanted by sending his mother to Jesus and having her to make a request for him. The Savior had spoken about the kingdom, and in that kingdom, when the Savior is going to sit upon the throne, someone is going to sit on his right hand and on his left hand. And this time, James, his brother, another favorite of the Lord, they sent their mother to Jesus and said, we have a request to ask of you. What is that? Well, when you establish your kingdom, would you allow my sons, James and John, to sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And when the other disciples heard it, they were indignant, because they wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left hand. But you see, John was ahead of them, and by stealth, he wanted to acquire this position of authority. Is that good? No. To want to be at the right hand of the Lord Jesus? Yes, that's good. But you have to earn it. But John wanted to get it by a simple request from his mother. And not only so, another fault is this. He was an exclusivist. What do you mean? On one occasion, he saw a disciple that followed not with the Lord Jesus Christ casting out demons. And he went to the Savior and said, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't follow us. Now, have I said anything good about John so far? You say no. All of these things are against him. And the Lord Jesus said, forbid him not. He that's not against us is for us. And so again and again and again, I've shown you things that are wrong with John. And yet John is the only individual disciple of whom it said, Jesus loved him. So I'm not disqualified if it comes to imperfections, because the one that Jesus loved had imperfections. But there was something in this man that caused Jesus to love him in a special way, and that is something that has to spring from you having been born again. Listen to this. In 1 John 4, it says, we love him because he first loved us. You will never love God unless he first loves you. But once God first loves you, after that, God is waiting for you to first love him. How is that? Because the Lord Jesus has already loved you first, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them unto the end. But Jesus says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. In this instance, it is the disciple loving Jesus first, and then after he loves Jesus, the Father loves him, and the Son loves him. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And so, when you go around saying, we love God because he first loved us, now that that's happened, God is waiting for you to return that love. And if you return that love, then God the Father and God the Son will reciprocate and manifest unto you a special love. And so that is something that all of us should aspire for. To be able to say, God loves me. Jesus loves me. Well, that's on the grounds of grace. And all people on the grounds of grace can say, God loves me as a sinner. God loves me now that He's redeemed me, even though I have failures. But there are some, and you see, I was going to give you four messages. I have another one telling about those that Jesus loved in a special way. Perhaps some Wednesday I will come up and make up this Sunday for you because of that storm we had last week. But there are those individuals whom Jesus loves in a special way. And that is what I want to be, one of those. But to tell you the truth, I had thought of how esoteric it is, how exclusive it is, and I cannot conceive of Jesus saying, here is one that I love in a special way. Because the other disciples had served Jesus. When the Savior spoke about what had been sacrificed for him, Peter said, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? And the Lord Jesus tells them what they're going to have when the kingdom comes. But still there is something beyond that that is special, and God loves His creatures, and who can imagine such a thing? Almighty God loving His creatures and deriving pleasure from His creatures loving Him. And because of that, God from the beginning has had certain ones that He speaks of as being special ones. The father of the faithful, Abraham. Abraham is called the friend of God. David is called the man after God's own heart. And I wonder if any of you know of somebody whose name was Jedediah. That's Solomon's name. His parents gave him the name Solomon, and God said, Nathan, go and tell them he's also to be called Jedediah, which means beloved of the Lord. And so do you see, in the Old as well as in the New Testament, God has had certain ones that He says, Abraham is my friend. David is the man after my heart. Solomon is my beloved. Now, in the case of John, he is not called the disciple whom Jesus loved from the first, neither was Abraham, but when little Solomon was born, the message was sent, call him Jedediah, and it said that God loved him. Why is this? I'm not able to tell you, but this little infant born of parents that had been so guilty, God loved him. The sad thing is this, if God for a reason can love you, God for a reason can stop loving you. And Solomon, who loved the Lord, it said that Solomon loved the Lord, in his old age, it said Solomon loved many foreign women, and they enticed his heart to set up idols and to depart from God, and God was angry with him. And so if there is something that can cause God to love you in a special way, there is something also that can cause God to stop loving you in a special way. And perhaps there are so many things that we do that are imperfections every day that God has never started loving us in a special way. But John, first to last, is spoken of after he received that title as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Remember, I could call him Boanerges. I could call him an exclusivist. I could call him whatever designation you want to, an aspirant. I could call him all of those things, but at the same time, they are all obliterated when I think of John as the one whom Jesus loved. And it never is taken away from him. Starting in chapter 13, and I told you, he was not called that at the first, but having been called that in chapter 13, five times he's called that. In chapter 13, 23, in chapter 19, 26, in chapter 20, verse 2, and in chapter 21, verses 7 and 20. Five times he is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so from the first time he's called it, till the last chapter in his gospel, he is still called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that is another thing to seek after. If perhaps sometime in your life, God says, I love this one in a special way, to maintain that standing before God. Not only a standing of grace, but a standing also of desert, because evangelicals are guilty of that. Always talking about grace, always grace, but it's not always grace. Do you not understand that in the kingdom, the one who sits on the right hand and the left hand, the Lord Jesus says, it's the one that deserves it. I can't just give it to you arbitrarily. It's the one who deserves it. And if I find Paul at his right hand, I'm not going to be surprised. But I will be surprised if you or I will be found at his right hand. But let us aspire to that. Desire to work for God. Because having been saved without works, the exhortation is for us to begin to work. So then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And now God is working in you, not to receive his Son as Savior, but having received his Son as Savior, to do his will, to do his work. It is God that works in you to do that. Now what happens is this. Why do you think the exhortation is in the Bible? Quench not the Spirit. Because when the Spirit would make your heart to burn, you quench the Spirit. And why do you think the exhortation is there? Grieve not the Spirit. Because when the Spirit would take the things of Christ and reveal them unto you, you are not interested. And the Spirit of God is grieved. And so, if this is so, the first thing I have to do is this. To understand that God has a will for my life now that I'm saved, and that will is found in the commandments that the Lord Jesus speaks. Someday I may tell you about those commandments, but understand, whereas there are the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, there are new commandments given by Jesus in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you. God had already given 10 at Mount Sinai, and now the Lord Jesus in the upper room discourse says, now I'm giving you a new commandment. And then it speaks of the commandments that the Lord Jesus has given. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So, the beginning, if you want to be loved in a special way for all of us, is this. To keep the commandments that Jesus Christ has given us. Now, having kept those commandments, a marvelous thing is spoken. It says, again, when the disciples are confused, Judas, not Iscariot, says, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself unto us, but not the world? The Lord said, if any man keep my word, the Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. What is so significant about that promise is this, that the Spirit of God who is already in you, the Lord says, if you love in a special way, then I and my Father will come and take up our abode in your heart. What is thrilling is this. Our Savior says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The same word that is translated mansions in chapter 14 is translated abiding place in this chapter, the verse that I quoted to you. If you love me, my Father will love you, I will love you, we will come and make our abode with you. And so there is a mansion in your heart, if you want to translate the word mane, an abiding place in your heart that's translated mansion in heaven. So, instead of waiting till Jesus comes to take you to that mansion in heaven so you can be with him, he says, right now, if you love me, I will come and dwell in that mansion in your heart with you. Now that is an exceeding great and precious promise. It is one to be longed for. And so let us not think about, Lord, how long, when, if we attain that being loved in a special way, then the Father and the Son and the Spirit, who is already in us, will in a special way take up residence in us, and then our hearts will be thrilled in a way that is incomprehensible. Let me tell you the significance of this disciple whom Jesus loved in a special way. The five times it's mentioned, the privileges that are his. But before that, I want to tell you of two things that were his privileges that he tells us absolutely nothing about. Let me ask you, who were the three that Jesus took to the Mount of Transfiguration and saw him in his glory? You say, Peter, James, and John. John is the only one who wrote a gospel who was on that Mount of Transfiguration, and he doesn't put a word in his gospel about going to the Mount of Transfiguration. And concerning the three that were in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying, which one who wrote a gospel was there with him? You say, John was there with him. He does not mention one word about our Savior in the garden in his agony. And so that's the marvel. The places that he had been with the Savior and the ones that he leaves out. I can understand, and here is another flaw in Peter, in John. It was this. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Lord Jesus said, watch with me. And when the Savior came back to look at them, he was asleep. But he was one who was in the Garden of Gethsemane with him, and perhaps because he slept, I could say, that's why he did not record that incident. But certainly, why would he not record being on the Mount of Transfiguration? You say, well, he was groggy then. Yes, they were heavy with sleep, but he was awake and he saw all of that glory. But God, by his Spirit, has John to select certain incidents, and some of the most glorious incidents he leaves out. And then, thank God, he puts in some glorious incidents that the other gospel writers left out. And of those, he gives us the occasions that I told you. And the occasions were those when he, the one loved in a special way, was in a special place and had special privileges. Think of this now. When the Lord Jesus is in that upper room, there is one disciple that is nearest to him and has his head upon his bosom. Who is that disciple? You say it's John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so if Jesus loves you in a special way, there is an enjoyment of nearness and intimacy, and a peace that passes understanding that is incomprehensible even to the ordinary child of God. That you are saved, yes. But to be able, without fear, to be so near to the Lord Jesus that you could lay your head upon His breast and have fellowship with Him. Why, that is something that is incomprehensible. But that is what John did. That is his privilege. And he tells us about that, and I rejoice in it. And so think now, intimacy, love, enjoyment of the Son of God who came from heaven, who loved me and gave Himself for me, and now you can enjoy the love of His heart. That's what it says in the Old Testament about the high priest. The picture is that all the tribes are upon the heart of the high priest in that breastplate, but there was only one disciple that was upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was John, the beloved apostle. And being so near to the Lord, there is an intimacy, and there are revelations that come to you that the other disciples are not privileged to receive. When the Savior said, "One of you shall betray me," and Peter wanted to know who it was, and so he said to John, "Ask him who it is." And he is so near the Lord, and so he simply leans back his head upon his breast, and he says, "Who is it?" And the Lord tells him. And so you and I, we want to know things of the Lord. Well, why should He answer you? We are so distant from Him. There is not that nearness, but we still want Him to answer questions for us. Well, I'm thinking of this, that if I am as near as John was, if I have that love, then I know in this instance the Lord Jesus told him who it was. So, now, having told you of that place that Jesus is with the disciple whom He loves, I want to tell you about these other places, and Jesus expects you to be there, even though you may not be the disciple whom He loves. That's why I read to you in John chapter 12, the Savior said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." The Lord Jesus was here this morning at the breaking of bread. And I was there. Were you there? The Lord Jesus said, "If you serve me, follow me. And where I am, there you will be." You say, no. And when you do not remember the Lord, if you are saved, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so, you who say, "Jesus loves me," I think I would be ashamed to even say it on the grounds of grace, if, having gone to the cross for us, we cannot do this in remembrance of Him. So in that upper room, who was there? The disciples whom Jesus loved. Why? Because He said, "If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also." And the next word is this: "He who serves me, my Father will honor." To think of the Father looking down from heaven and seeing those that are serving, obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "Him will the Father honor." What honor does the Father have for you? The next place was this. In John 19, it says, there were standing by the cross of Jesus, His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was in the upper room, and next we see Him at the cross where His Savior is being crucified. But again, if you read the other Gospels, you will discover that He is there not without criticism, but in that garden, when the enemies of Christ came to arrest Him, when the Lord Jesus said, "If I am the one that you want, let these go." It says that all the disciples abandoned him, forsook him, left him, and they fled. But two of them, Peter, followed him afar off, and John followed him closer. But then afterward, when they asked, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" and Peter denied, and the rooster crowed, then Peter went out and wept bitterly, and that's the last that we hear of Peter. But John was in the very place where the Lord Jesus was being judged. He had admission, and he was there. And they condemned him, and they took him and crucified him, and there at the cross, first afar off, and then near, John, the beloved apostle, was there. It was an old Negro spiritual, and even though you and I cannot be there historically, we can be there spiritually. The spiritual is this: were you there when they crucified my Lord? And that question is asked again. And there, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? And so some of us in spirit can go to that cross, and the spiritual goes on. Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Why? Because in spirit, those Negroes had been at the cross of Calvary where Jesus was dying for them. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was there bodily. And he heard these words from the cross. It says it in such a way that is remarkable. The Lord is there in agony. And it says there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and this disciple. And it said, when Jesus saw his mother, he is there, and he looks from the cross, and he sees his mother, and he sees the disciple whom he loved standing there. And Jesus says these simple words. He looks and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." And he says to John, "Behold thy mother." The only thing that he could do is to signify it with the turning of his head, the look in his eye. But please understand that not only is being a disciple whom Jesus loves a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. Because here is his mother now at the cross. And evidently Joseph was dead. And it says that before the crucifixion, it said his brethren did not believe in him. But there is one who believes in him. And so he says, first of all, "Woman, behold thy son." And so here she is losing her son by birth. But he says, "You are gaining a son by my disposition." But then at the same time, he says to John, "Behold thy mother." And there is a responsibility laid upon him for the rest of his life to take care of the mother of Jesus. And it says, from that hour, he took her to his own home. I wonder how many of you who say, "Oh yes, I want to be loved in a special way," are we willing to accept the responsibilities that Jesus would place upon us? Oh, we like the privileges. I like the love, the feeling of love and nearness, intimacy, able to ask questions and get answers from Jesus. But then at times, if we are near to Jesus, then he says, "I have this for you to do. This is a responsibility I want you to carry out." So anybody can say, "Jesus loves me." I want to be one, if such a thing is possible, to be loved by Jesus in a special way. And then some of the things that were John's can be yours. Let us pray. Now, Father, we marvel that a God who is holy, holy, holy can have fellowship with his creatures. We are thankful, our God, that you desire our fellowship, and we are so glad that someday Jesus is coming back, and when we see him, We shall be like him. We shall see him even as he is. That's what we're longing for. But until then, let us purify ourselves even as he is pure, and let us desire to have those privileges that John, the beloved disciple, had, and let us, Father, miss them and look at our lives and see how imperfect we are. Thou shalt be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So help us, our God, while being loved, to aspire to be one who loves the Lord Jesus in a worthy way, and also to be loved by him in a special way. In his name we pray. Amen. Perhaps that song, More Love to Thee, More Love to Thee.